You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06 on this Friday morning, June 27th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio 2A. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Emily Cepho standing by to join us as well. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mike Clemens will have sports. The Bucks have made their top pick in the second round of the NBA draft. And the Milwaukee Brewers had the day off yesterday before beginning a series with the Colorado Rockies. I can tell you that tonight's game, you can hear the pregame coverage beginning at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations. So they play tonight. They play tomorrow. Let's see. Tomorrow is a mid-afternoon game, 3:10. And then on Sunday, they play the Rockies at 1:10. If you could maybe go to that Sunday afternoon game and would like free tickets, it's Free Ticket Friday. All you got to do is go to the Civic Media app and text us this keyword, PARK, P-A-R-K. Text us PARK before the end of the show, so before 9 o'clock, and you'll be in the running for, again, a statewide contest for these Brewers tickets. There will be other chances to win throughout the course of the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us on these Fridays, and I believe Emily Cephos as well. Emily's at a scout camp, if I remember right. So, Kristen, how are you?
I'm good. We're traveling.
You are traveling. That's not your usual accommodations. I almost know the hotel rooms that a doctor takes on the circuit these days, but
you're somewhere else. This is a
different one. Well, good. Thank you for checking in on your travel day. Appreciate it. Emily, I know we got maybe a shaky connection, but if you can hear me, tell me where you're at.
Sure. I'm in Keele, Wisconsin at Camp Rokelio with kids for scout camp this week. So I'm in a clear, so I'm hoping this works.
Okay. Well, let's turn it over to you first. That way, if the connection's bad, we have to let you go, we can. But you put a column in Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area, and it's a pretty easy read about basically setting a standard for the budget. What did you say? It was basically set a line and then hold the line. Tell us what folks can read in that column. Emily? Oh, no. It did sound like a kind of a shaky connection there. So
I know. Rural broadband. We need more rural broadband.
Rural broadband now, boys and girls.
Yeah. It's a great article, though. Please check it out online if Emily can't join us again, because it is well worth the read, and it really emphasizes the need and the process by which we can actually have a budget if we've got courageous people who are willing to step up.
Well, and what I'll do here, and let's see, Emily, again, if you are, let me try one more time. Are you hearing us, Emily? Oh, I don't think it's going to work. Oh, well. We'll try to get her next week here, because there will be an update on the budget. But here's the headline from the article, "Draw the Line and Hold It, How Governor Evers and Democrats Can Step Up in State Budget Negotiations." And, you know, she talks about how the governor's positioned himself as the adult in the room, rightly so. And as much as he likes to compromise, you know, she writes, you can't compromise with a party that isn't negotiating in good faith. Mm-hmm. And now, Kristen, given that the state Supreme Court has, for whatever reason, you know, greatly reduced the way that the governor can use his veto pen, and basically allows Republicans to split up appropriations into multiple bills, and some of the bills the governor can't partially veto, I'm a little concerned now that even though Joint Finance is meeting today, they're going to try to do everything all at once today, try to pass the budget early next week. I think Emily and others are rightly concerned that what they're going to send to the governor is not something that he can fix with partial vetoes.
This is a pattern that we have seen since before the governor was even able to take office. There have been shenanigans for all the years that Governor Evers has been in office, and it's been this constant Republican push to play tricks with our money, with our lives, essentially. And, you know, just speaking as a citizen, it's confusing. It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't seem that they have our best interests in mind.
Oh, it never has. And when you look at that new Marquette poll, again, coming back to Dan Schaefer, and you should really subscribe to the Recombobulation Area if you don't. But he looks at that Marquette poll, and in issue after issue after issue after issue, there are these topics that have 65% public support, and they are all the positions of Democrats, mm-hmm. of the Democratic Party, of, you know, progressive leaders. So we know the people are on the side of Governor Evers going into this. We know Republicans are writing things that are not necessarily what the people want and are just really daring the governor to veto the budget and make it a public fight rather than actually doing some good in the budget.
And I love that you mentioned the issues. That's what he's polled on with the Marquette poll. It's the issues. It's not which side are you on. And that's the politics of it that divide us and make us feel like we're in one camp or the other. It's not about that at all. And we've seen Governor Evers approach it from an issues perspective. We've seen him attempt to compromise, but it's got to go both ways. And we have not seen that same kind of approach from the Republicans, unfortunately.
Yeah. Emily writes, the pattern is predictable. Republicans create a crisis, block every solution, and then blame government for the fallout. And so when Democrats respond with silence or softened demands, we don't look principled, we look complicit. Mm-hmm. And Emily goes on to say about using the bully pulpit to the governor, where's the tour from Bayfield to Kenosha with lawmakers and activists to save childcare counts? Where are the joint press conferences with superintendents, childcare providers, and parents? Why not hold a primetime address and say clearly the Republican legislature is sabotaging your schools, your childcare, and your communities? This is about accountability. People deserve to know who is standing up for them and who is standing in the way. Kristen, Emily has put very succinctly on paper what you and I have been hearing from people throughout the state over the past couple of months.
And some of these little nodes of activism that we're seeing, like childcare provider Corinne in New Glarus, who has been, I mean, not only does she have a hard job where she's taking care of all of these kids and growing the future of the state, but she's also doing all of the work in Madison. She's organizing, she's raising this issue and helping people understand what's at stake here. And we are seeing regular people all across the state stepping up and doing this work, but it really needs to be our elected leaders. It really needs to be the media. We need more because people really need to understand that our government is not working for us and we can make it work, but we've got to engage as citizens to make this happen.
One more excerpt in closing, Emily writes, Governor Evers, you were elected to protect Wisconsin families, not to politely coexist with those trying to hurt them. If Republican lawmakers refuse to govern, don't help them hide it. Shine a light, use your voice and your power. If 2025 is truly the year of the kid, don't settle for anything less than they deserve. Draw the line with this budget and hold it. And again, this is a great sentiment, but and I'm just looking here on YouTube. Emily is right. Alicia mm-hmm. writes on there. But again, here's the wrinkle is that Republicans, if Evers vetoes the budget and says start over again, they don't have to. They can say, nope, we don't want to. And so the current budget that expires next week would just carry over. And again, that has pluses and minuses, but Kristen, I've been talking to people who have been saying, you know what, for the relative crumbs that might be in a new budget, we may as well stick with the old one rather than go backwards.
Yeah. It's just not worth it. And again, you know, there are examples after examples of Republicans just standing in the way, failing to work in the best interests of the people of Wisconsin. I mean, Pat, you talked about this yesterday. You talk about this all the time. They haven't approved any of Governor Evers' nominations for cabinet people, for appointed positions in all different places, like hundreds of people who we need in these roles to make government work. They just don't want to. They just don't want to do their jobs because they want to be obstructionist. That's not how government works. That's how government doesn't work. And they're not working for us.
No, it's how power works. And these are power plays. And that's why I was so concerned about this state Supreme Court decision this week restricting the veto, is that, you know, Republicans, the way that I interpret it, can basically turn the Joint Finance Committee's quote-unquote supplemental fund into a slush fund and put even more money into it and say, you know, we'll decide when we want to dole out the money if we can. So that needs to be reformed. The confirmation process for, you know, for the governor and the state Senate, that needs to be reformed. The rulemaking process, all the things where Republicans have found a way to kind of rig the rules, and it's blocking all this progress, which becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're the ones that love to say government is broken, government doesn't work. We hear that from people all the time. They voted for Donald Trump because they're like, well, government doesn't work. We got to try something new. We need to do a better job of calling out the people who government would work were it not for them.
Maybe it's just these three words. You broke it. You broke it. And it's given future legislators a path forward. I think that is something that those of us who are really interested in the future of Wisconsin need to look at all of these places where they've inserted themselves and defied norms and acted outside of the realm of what they have done traditionally and what moves the state forward. And just all of those little fixes are opportunities for us in the future. We just got to get there.
What do we have for the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on Saturday?
Oh, it's such a good show. Men for Choice. Why should men be involved in the conversation about reproductive rights and abortion? Alan Tipple, who is the Wisconsin Youth Organizer for Men for Choice. This is an amazing organization that pulls men in and teaches them how to have this conversation, why to have this conversation, empowers them with the knowledge and the ability to move forward. Also, my oldest son, Abe, joins us, and my partner, Craig. So it becomes a very personal discussion, and I think you're going to like it.
I almost hear the Brady Bunch theme in the background here. It's like we got the whole family together talking about these things. So, Yeah, we've got a lot to cover. And then what time does the show air?
3 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday, and of course, streaming on the Civic Media Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, podcasts you can get to as well. Hey, that's a great opportunity to promote that we've got this thing, Spotify and Apple and the website.
All of it.
And subscribe to her show, to my show, to all the shows, to all the things. Do that and listen on demand if you can't catch us live. It's why Kristen goes through all this work. When we come back on the other side of the break, some of you will be taking a little local break here, and others will stick around as Kristen and I discuss the U.S. Supreme Court's decision out of South Carolina that allows politicians to essentially cut off Medicaid payments to Planned Parenthood. And what is that going to do to basic health care, not abortion care? Basic health care for everybody, men, women, and children throughout rural Wisconsin, throughout rural America. We'll talk about her trip to Washington, D.C. to mark the third anniversary of the Dobbs decision as well, and whether that's had any kind of an impact on, you know, the total number of abortions that women will need and are seeking and are getting or not getting in this country. That's all ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Mike Clemens coming up at 8:35.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
see, on the text line right now, Jesse from Oak Creek, keep up the great work of letting people know what is really happening in politics, both in the state of Wisconsin and the United States. Robin Tigerton says, thank you, Kristen, for always helping and fighting for us. The Wisconsin Republican Party is a broken party right now. Alicia says, I'll say this until I am blue in the face. Republicans are intentionally sabotaging government. The time for being polite is not now. Mm-hmm. In lighter news from the Republican Party, this headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde are each considering a return to politics with a run for Wisconsin governor, to which many Wisconsin Democrats respond with, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, everybody, do it. Both of them, yes. Let's have a really fun primary. This could be great stuff.
Because and again, are they running because they're the most qualified Republicans, you know, in Wisconsin, or who once were in Wisconsin? Or could it be their checkbook? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with checkbook.
Neither of them could get out of the state fast enough when they lost their last elections. I mean, Tim Michaels, after he dropped the mic, walked right onto his plane and went back home. They don't live here. They don't engage here. They don't get the people here. So whatever.
Yeah. So I like that. Whatever. That's where we're at right now. All right. We've mentioned the U.S. Supreme Court decisions. More decisions are coming out this morning. The South Carolina one seems particularly onerous to me. I mean, the court almost went out of its way to put up more barriers. I'm reminded of that commercial with the old guy with the fishing pole and the dollar. And, you know, he's holding the dollar in front of somebody and then he's snagging back the fishing line going, oh, you almost got it. You almost got it. And that's the Supreme Court going, oh, you almost got your Medicaid funding. Nope. Planned Parenthood. We can cut you off if we want to. It just didn't seem like, well, it didn't seem simple. Again, it seemed like they went out of their way to say, you know, if you want to ban funding to Planned Parenthood, you can.
That's exactly what they did. But I think it has broader implications. But before we get to broader implications, let's just talk about Planned Parenthood and remind us all that Planned Parenthood does do abortions in many places, but in many places, actually in most places, and the vast majority of their business is providing health care, screening for sexually transmitted infections, birth control, preventive care, cancer screening. It is routine care that people need, and the population of people who go to Planned Parenthood for their care can't go anywhere else. So what this means is that they're not going to be able to get fundamental health care, and that means we're going to end up with more cancer, more unplanned pregnancies, more untreated sexually transmitted infections. It's just worse. It's just worse on so many counts.
And makes it so tough for things like recruitment. I mean, you've put up posts about how hard you're recruiting to get folks to come to Wisconsin and practice after residency, and none of this makes it your job any easier.
No.
She said.
Yeah. No. And, you know, most doctors aren't like me. Most doctors, they go to the hospital, they go to their clinic, they're focused on taking care of their patients. Like, it's a big job in itself. They don't have time to do all this advocacy work. It's exhausting. And all of those barriers make it really hard for us to take care of our patients. Not that you should feel sorry for doctors, but like, we went into this to take care of our patients, and it just makes it even harder. Man. But I think that this ruling is bigger than just Planned Parenthood. We know that they're angry with Planned Parenthood and they just want to defund them because it's Planned Parenthood is this monolith of women's health that they hate. But this has giant implications for Medicaid in general and how Medicaid is run. And I think we have yet to see how it continues to undermine insurance for our most vulnerable folks, moms, babies, seniors, veterans, disabled people, people who otherwise can't get health insurance are going to have an even harder time getting the care that they need.
That's just what I was saying last hour, is that if they can't kill Medicaid, then they will find ways to use red tape to micromanage, you know, the people that they approve of who can get Medicaid. So the Dobbs decision that repealed Roe v. Wade was 3 years ago this week. And while in some states the number of abortions has dropped to near zero, the total number of abortions nationwide has risen gradually, rose again in 2024, thanks to telehealth, medication abortion. And so, Kristen, again, it was a hard decision, but providers are doing what they can to continue to provide the care that their patients need.
If the goal really is to prevent abortion care, the means of doing it is clearly not working. If you really want to prevent abortion care, then make sure people can get health care. Make sure people can get access to contraception and education. And when they get pregnant, make sure that they get the care that they need and they feel safe and secure in that care. That's how you approach it, not by banning it. Banning it just moves it underground and makes people find alternative ways to get the care that they need.
Get comprehensive health education, the mental health care that mm-hmm. Governor Evers is talking about putting in schools, because again, something that is as big as, you know, physical medical care is self-esteem, which can come through proper mental health care. It is such a multifaceted thing. It's complex. There's not some one easy, simple, political, one size fits all solution, despite what some people on one side of the spectrum think. And I'm so glad that we have advocates, you know, like you, helping to point that out and helping patients be better advocates for themselves. Kristen Lyerly, safe travels. Have a fun weekend. And are we going to see you Monday morning?
I'll be there Monday morning. But when okay. I leave here, I'm going to go across the street to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow. Now we have a topic for Monday morning at 6:30.
It's Springsteen weekend.
Oh, fun.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, turn that computer off. Go enjoy.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Kristen Lyerly back with us Monday morning at 6:30 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And when we come back, Mike Clemens is going to be here. We'll talk sports, a big series for the Brewers against Colorado. The Bucks make a pick in the NBA draft. That and more coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitler. Here's a little behind the scenes at the radio station here. When we have guests come in and they join us through, you know, an online portal, we have, of course, the virtual studio here that they appear with us inside of that. But we can also have them off the air. So they're here on the website, but they're in something that we call the waiting room. And so guests will check in and we'll say, okay, I'm going to tuck you into the waiting room for the rest of the commercial break. And Alicia puts on YouTube, "The waiting room sounds so cozy when you say you'll tuck people into it." Thank you, Alicia. Yes, we have a very we sometimes refer to the secret show online when we're just yapping with each other during commercial breaks, because folks on Facebook and YouTube can still hear us, and hopefully our bosses can't. but maybe instead of the secret show, we call it the waiting room. We'll just tuck people into it. So
I can make some kind of soundbite for that.
Yeah. So let me open up the door to the waiting room and pull Mike Clemens out of there and have him join us to talk a little sports for the weekend here. Mike, hello. How are you? See? It's so cozy.
You guys have got the heated blankets. I had my little hot fudge sundae that you served.
Oh, see?
Fantastic, man.
That concierge service in the waiting room is just top-notch. That's awesome. How are you today?
A little tired. It was a late night last night covering your NBA draft round 2 and the Bucks with the 47th pick, but they have taken a kid who's 6'11" out of Serbia. This is the hottest young prospect out of the Professional Basketball League in Serbia, and his name is Bogoljub Marković. You'll hear this kid's name like Giannis. They'll call him Bogo. Bogoljub Marković.
All right.
6'11". 217 for weight. And so we talked to the Bucks after the pick last night, after the draft, and they said, yeah, well, you know, he's going to have to put some weight on. You know, Giannis, I looked this up. When he came in, he like weighed 196. Remember how tall and skinny he was?
Oh, yeah.
How broad shoulder he is. Giannis weighs like 245 now. He's put on almost 50 pounds of muscle in 11 years in the NBA. But this kid they picked up last night, I guess what stands out, here's a big 6'11", a very accurate shooter, only 19, and playing with the big boys with the adult league, so a team called Mega Basket in Serbia's ABA league. And he averaged, you know, at 19, he's averaging like 14 points a night, six or seven rebounds, a couple of assists, 28 minutes per game. So they've had their eye on him. Now, is he going to be like these Bucks draft picks the last 2 or 3 years where, you know, we get him and they put him on the shelf, right? They stash him, as they call it in the NBA, as a development, or maybe even use him in a trade later on. Or is he going to be on the roster? You know, the Bucks wouldn't say. They just said, you know, that's up to Doc. But we think, you know, we see a future with him alongside Giannis out there as a small forward.
Well, since we're mentioning Giannis, and first off, you said he put on about 45, 50 pounds. You said of muscle. I knew I was doing something wrong all these years.
I
put the weight on. Yeah. Nobody was specific about it. Now I know how Giannis got it done. But anyway.
Too much time in the waiting room, not the weight room. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly it. I hate doing this, but I got to. Okay, so we picked up this kid from Serbia, and he may or may not, you know, be on the roster right away. Does this do anything in terms of all the trade rumors about Giannis? It just seems, I never see it rooted in anything, but it just doesn't shut some people up nationally from talking about it.
I think, you know, a month ago, I would have been saying to you, all right, now you're going to hear, you know, ESPN and some of these other networks start this, you know, fueling this Giannis. Does he want out of Milwaukee and all that? But I think there's some fire causing this smoke this time, and it's got to be the agents, and it's got to be, you know, don't forget you're in a league that's run by billionaires.
Yeah.
And guys that have got teams that are struggling, and they look at the marketing surveys, and guess who is like number one? There was just a report out earlier this week. Number one, most popular with like teens, younger kids in the early 20s, is Giannis Antetokounmpo up in Milwaukee, not some guy in LA or, you know, are out in New York or something like that. And so there's some of these teams that are struggling and only get 8,000 fans a night that know that they could sell tickets if they got that guy. And they're telling their GMs, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what Milwaukee, everyone's got a price. I want you to get them. And so when the calls start going around and there's all this talk about, well, what would it take? What is the values? That's what stirs the bee's nest, you know, the beehive and people buzzing that, you know, there's all this talk, you know, what would it take? And at the same time, I've got a real good source that was with a member of the Bucks organization, we'll say, who said, I just ran into him. I just took Giannis and the family to the airport. They're going to Greece for a family trip. And in the car, he's just like, can you believe all this crap? Where's this? You know, like Giannis is just, if you talk to him, if you know you have a brush with him, he totally denies it. But they started that again last night on ESPN saying, well, we're seeing that Giannis is monitoring the draft and everything the Bucks do in free agency in the next couple of weeks before he makes his decision on maybe where he should be next season or you know in the coming years, blah blah blah. So I think there's a mix of all those kinds of things that there's, you know, there's part of it in the stew. Now we tried to, you know, I thought we would be talking to John Horst about all this last night. And as a matter of fact, on Monday, there hadn't been anything from the Bucks. So I sent them a letter and I got back a response about 20 minutes later saying, hey, we're working on it, we'll let you know. And then the email to those of us that cover the team on a regular basis says, okay, here's our plan. You know, round one of the draft is Wednesday night. We're not going to do anything. I normally, you know, on draft night, it's almost like a draft party. They invite you down, they have some dinner, some snacks, sure. And we sit down, and you bring your laptop, and you work for about 10, 11 hours there, right? You bring all your equipment and file stories. And they say, we're not going to, which, like, Monday afternoon, they tipped us off. Yeah, they don't anticipate anything happening for them in the first round, like a mega trade or anything. Come Thursday night for the second round, and we'll open the doors at 6, and then we monitor the draft, and then we'll bring in GM John Horst down to talk about what we did with the second round. So we thought, okay, we'll ask him some questions about the pick, and we can ask him some Giannis questions, right? Because we haven't talked to him since the season was over with. I drive to the Deer District to get into Fiserv form, and I'm checking my messages in my phone because I know my phone went off a couple times and I'm in heavy traffic downtown Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And I check it in the parking structure, and it says, tonight's event's been canceled. They canceled it like 30 minutes before they're going to open the doors.
Whoa.
We're not going to make John Horst available tonight. We're going to do a Zoom call with Assistant General Manager Milton Newton, and that'll be after the second round is over with. So go back to your newsrooms, go back to your offices, whatever. We're just going to do a Zoom tonight. Okay, so turn around. I drive back 45 minutes to my house. And, you know, Milt came on, and he was very good and talking about, you know, Bogo and this kid they picked up from Serbia. And then during the coverage, one of the reporters was monitoring what they're saying on ESPN, like, oh, Jans is watching this very closely. So they asked him for comment on that, and he says, I'm not here to talk about Giannis. I'm just here to talk about the draft pick. And you know, here's what's probably going on. Here's what the next chapter is. Okay, so they got through maybe they try to trade out. Maybe they try to get trade up, whatever. But, you know, next will be, you know, they signed a kid with a two-way deal out of Alabama, Mark Sears. You know, so he'll be part of both their roster and their G League team. They save money on that. But free agency is coming up, and, you know, Horst has got two or three other moves coming probably in the next week or two. So he did just, you know, he wasn't going to talk to us. But to find out 30 minutes before they were going to open the doors and have a, you know, an event to cover like that was, that was pretty unusual last night.
It sure sounds, and it does not, you know, quell. The beehive just continues to buzz. All the more,
yeah.
You know.
And that just adds to it, doesn't it?
It does. All right. Well, I guess we just have to continue to monitor and hope for some honey and not for getting stung. Let's turn over to baseball. Before we get to the Brewers, though, I think that this is a story that we're going to share next as a reminder. No matter how much you love your team, no matter how much you hate the other team, there's still some rules of the road out there. And there's now a 22-year-old White Sox fan who is banned at all major league ballparks for hopefully a good long time. It's a terrible story, but again, a cautionary tale, Mike, if you wouldn't mind sharing it.
Yeah, the other night at White Sox Park on the south side of Chicago, they're hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Ketel Marte's, you know, in the batter circle there. He's getting warmed up. And this 22-year-old clown, you know, wearing a White Sox garb, starts yelling at him crude things about his mother. And Marte starts to cry. And Torrey Lovello, the manager, sees this from the dugout, comes out and runs to check on what's the matter with his player. And he hears this crap coming from the stands. And he turns to this fan and to the ushers and says, you know, do you know? And he's swearing at him, but basically saying, do you know his mother has died? His mother's dead? Knock it off. He's talking to us like, get rid of this guy. Because it was like back in 2017, Marte, you know, young ball player, was on the phone to his mom, I think Dominican Republican. But like 30 minutes after they hung up, she was in a fatal car accident and died. And so for this guy to be, you know, mocking this guy's mom, it hit him the wrong way. And, you know, he ended up going 0-for-4 that night and breaking down like that. But just a real ugly, ugly, stupid situation. There was one this spring in Cleveland where the Red Sox were playing there. And the Red Sox have got a player named Jaron Duran who had done a documentary about the pressures of being a ball player. Talked about it at one point. He was so much pressure, he contemplated suicide. So this Cleveland fan starts hitting him up with that, you know, yelling from the stand. He's been banned. You know, people have asked me, what's the worst thing you ever saw? And it's definite. The Packers had just beat the Bears again. We're down at Soldier Field, and we're going into the visitor's tunnel, and I'm following the team, you know, for the post-game interviews to get going there. And Favre had just beat the Bears once again, and he's going into the tunnel, and there's a Bears fan, a woman, in a parka holding up a sign, a little yellow sign that said, Die, Favre, die.
Oh, come on. Jeepers.
And this was a week, Pat, after Reggie had died.
Yeah.
After Reggie White had died in Christmas. Remember that week?
Yes, yes.
Like, can that be the most insensitive, stupid thing? You know, Packers had beat the Bears like 31-17 that day. And, you know, they wanted Favre to move on. But it's like, it can be pretty brutal sometimes down on the field.
And you know what? They're paid a lot of money, and they can take a lot of, you know, of ribbing or jeering or whatever if it's about the game. When you cross that line into something personal, I mean, you're just showing your colors, and they're not nice.
100%. And you know what? And if you're a fan, you see this stuff, you know, call fan assistance. Yeah. You know, that they've got a telephone number for. Get that person ejected out of the game.
That clown. Yeah, absolutely. The Brewers, they open up a home series tonight against the Colorado Rockies. The coverage of tonight's pregame starts at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations. Are you looking forward to anything in particular for this one?
Yeah, just to see if they can keep the momentum going. They're three games behind the Cubs. Cubs are beating the Cardinals in shutouts so far, but the Brewers in second place. They played the Pirates. The Miz, Mizorowski, lived up to the billing, you know, five scoreless innings. He's off to the best start of a major league pitcher since 1901, I guess.
Yes.
Just to be keeping the records.
Wow.
And Julio Ortiz had a pretty good game the other night, you know, because he was a great second baseman last year. They moved him to shortstop after Willy Adames left to the Giants in free agency. But he's really struggled at the plate. Like, the batting average is down to something like 185. He's gotten up to 217. He's the other night he got two home runs in the same game. So after the game, we went to Pat Murphy and said, hey, listen, you know, Joey's done his job in the field. On
ten seconds, what do you call him?
Yeah. He said, yeah, he was lower than whale poop. That's the heaviest thing in the ocean. He was heavier than whale poop.
Mike Clemens.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One final time, here's our keyword for our free Ticket Friday. You've got about 6 minutes or so to text the word PARK, P-A-R-K, through the Civic Media app. If you would like to go to the Brewers-Rockies game Sunday afternoon, we're giving away four tickets in a statewide contest to one lucky entrant. There'll be other chances to win throughout the course of the day here, so be listening to Matt and Air on Air, and then moving on throughout the course of this Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, next few minutes or so, text PARK, not Parker. That'll disqualify, not Miller Park or anything like that, just PARK.
Just PARK.
P-A-R-K gets it done. We ran out of time right into the break there with Mike Clemens, so I wanted to just double-check that quote that he was talking about. Yes, indeed, it was for Joey Ortiz. He had his fifth multi-hit game in his last six. So his average is up to 217 now, a little more than a month after it had dropped below the Mendoza line to 170. And I had to double-check the language on this, and sure enough, Pat Murphy said in the postgame, offensively, Joey Ortiz, he was lower than whale poop. For him to fight out of that and have the ability and mental toughness to play defense still, you just got to commend the guy. I couldn't be happier. Knowing Murph, thought for sure he was using another word. He did not. He knows when the microphones are live. Give him credit for that.
Oh, yeah. He's a very quotable guy.
Yes, he is. So he's got the series with the Rockies coming up. Hey, at Summerfest this weekend, if you're heading down that way tonight on the lineup, some of the shows include Cake will be there, short skirt, long jacket. Let's see, we've got Offset, Jody Messina. I recognize one or two others, and don't make fun of me. Just because I say that doesn't mean it was like Lawrence Welk or something like that. But Plain White Tees will be there as well. And then I wanted to call up the Saturday lineup real quick for folks that might just want to spur of the moment, go, hey, let's go. Megan Thee Stallion is appearing tomorrow. There's also the Mavericks, the Fray. The Fray? We saw the Fray at Summerfest. Oh, my gosh. How many years ago? Like 25? Something like that? Whenever the first season of Grey's Anatomy was, because first or second season, because their song How to Save a Life, wasn't that? Yes, that was them. They were appearing as over this hot new band at the time, and they're back, which tells you how popular Summerfest is.
It's a
great little gig. There are other fairs and festivals going on this weekend as well. Of course, the Marquette County Fair in Westfield, the Outagamie County Fair in Seymour, and the Door County North Pollinator Week celebration up in Ellison Bay parade tomorrow at 10 o'clock. By the way, back to Summerfest, you can head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, And it says there, skip Summerfest traffic. Here's how to get to the festival without driving. I would highly recommend that. A lot of good transportation options to get there or to whatever particular festival you are heading to this weekend. Hope that it's a lot of fun. We talked with Mike Clemens in our last segment about some of the ugly language that people can use in sports venues. It is not restricted to sports. We spoke earlier with Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom about the New York City mayor's race and the surprise win this week by Democratic Socialist candidate Zoran Mondani. And the headline in the New York Times here says, right-wing Republicans in Congress attack Mamdani with Islamophobic comments. The responses to Mamdani's win were the latest examples of how some GOP lawmakers have grown more overt in using bigoted language and tropes. So, I mean, tip your cap to the New York Times, because I'm one who has often said, stop tiptoeing around these things. If something is racist, call it racist. If it's Islamophobic, if it's bigoted, call it that. And the New York Times is finally doing it. And you understand why when you see something like, this is a member of Congress, Andy Oglas, a far-right Tennessee Republican, used Islamophobic language on social media to refer to Zoran Mamdani in a way that said he should be deported. He's not deportable. He's an American citizen. Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, and personal opinion, lowlife, implied that Mr. Mamdani was somehow tied to the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He was 9 years old when that happened. That came after Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia reacted to Mamdani's apparent victory with an edited image of the Statue of Liberty clothed in a burqa. The New York Times just goes on to say these were just the latest examples of how far-right Republicans in Congress have become overt in their use of bigoted language and ethnically offensive tropes in both casual comments and official statements. Don't normalize this, people. And I can only say this to any Republicans or conservatives who are listening. If you don't call out crap like that, it's no different than you using that term. We all have a duty, as I would with fellow progressives, that if they cross some kind of a line that's out there, because we don't need to escalate it to that point. But it is going to happen. I mean, on Capitol Hill yesterday, Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett questioned First Lady Melania Trump's reported use of the so-called Einstein visa during a House hearing and saying, you know, essentially inferring that there is something deportable about the way that she was able to come into the country. In all cases, we do well to remember that American citizens and immigrants come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. All are human. All are worthy until proven otherwise. And at this level of name-calling, this level of Islamophobia and bigotry, there's no room for it. There's just no room for it. There's just no room for it. Next week, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, Hans Breitenmoser, Representative Angela Stroud. My thanks to today's guests, Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Kia Vakil, Kristen Lyerly, Mike Clemens, and you for being here today. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you back here up north Monday morning, 6 a.m. Have a great weekend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.